Praise God. Let's look at the book of Zechariah. Zechariah, chapter 10, verse 1. Zechariah, chapter 10, verse 1. It says, "Ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. The Lord will make flashing clouds. He will give them showers of rain. Grass in the field for everyone." It tells us there precisely that when the time comes in the latter rain, we are to ask. The word ask implies that we are asking and expecting God for a revival, an expectancy that is there. Now, we need to realize what we are asking and what is involved in a revival. So we need just another scripture from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. Reading from verse 1 onwards, let's read the whole major portion of that passage on the dry bones. Verse 1, "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesy as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on this slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they live and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, Our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Now notice in this passage here that when he prophesied in verse 7, there was a rattling and the bones came together. And when he prophesied a second time, he specifically was asked in verse 9 to say these words, saying, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on this slain, that they may live. And it was then that the whole dry bones became a living army. We know that this is a dual prophecy. It speaks first about the nation of Israel, but it also speaks about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ as the army that he is raising. And the point that we want to focus on verse 9 is that it's not just a prophesying, but in verse 9, he has to command and call for the four winds of God. Tonight we want to see a little bit on what these four winds of God signify. There are four winds mentioned in the Bible. And the Holy Spirit, when he moves in revival, there would be the fourfold winds that blow. We are not just talking about natural wind, we are talking about the spiritual winds of God. Noah Hayes has a book entitled the winds of God. The winds of God. And that book came forth many years ago, because when he was preaching in Robert Hilton's church in Dallas, Texas, Word of Faith Family Church, and in the midst of preaching, and in that meeting it was being telecast live on satellite, and suddenly what Noah Hayes saw was that he was taken out into the heavens, and just before that meeting, and what he saw came to pass. Now this was what he saw in that meeting, just before the meeting, and in the meeting came to pass. He was caught up into the heavenlies, and he saw the four winds of God coming forth from the four corners of the earth, and the four winds of God came together, and it became a whirlwind. And that whirlwind dropped down upon the planet earth, and wheresoever it dropped down, the revival break forth. That's how he wrote the book, The Winds of God. But he did not go into detailed analysis of what the winds of God is, which we will go through tonight. The winds of God in the Bible speak about the four spiritual winds: the north wind, the south wind, the east wind, and the west wind. More is spoken about all the other type of winds, okay? My tongue is getting twisted. Wind. Alright, got it. Wind. If I get the S inside, my tongue gets stuck. Alright, the four winds of God. And there, more is spoken about the north wind, the south wind, the east wind, than the west wind, but it has a significance. Let's start with the east wind, right, which is the most common wind. Now, we realize that in the Bible there are a lot of what you call dual prophecy. And when you talk about the wind in the Bible, this is one word that I'm struggling with. Now, when you talk about the winds in the Bible, there is an actual wind blowing, right? We are not saying that it's just a spiritual wind. There is an actual wind blowing from the actual geographical direction. But it points to something spiritual. That's what we want to do. See, how do we know that? Because each time God called forth the natural wind from a certain direction, it always causes the same thing. It always brought forth the same thing. The east wind is known for bringing blight and famine. The east wind is known as a wind that brought forth judgment. If you read the book of Genesis, how in Joseph's time, when he has that vision, interpret the dream of Pharaoh. Pharaoh's dream was in reference to the famine that comes, and in the end, you notice that it mentioned how it's the east wind that blighted the corn or whatever it was, the wheat. The east wind is a wind that brings judgment. It's a wind that comes with great power, a great force that is involved. Let's see a little bit of this wind in the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus, please. Chapter 10, verse 31. There, verse 31. Alright, praise ye the Lord. Chapter 10, verse... let's begin from... verse 12. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come upon the land. And in verse 13, so Moses stretched out his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind on the land all that day and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locust. It's the east wind. Now, since we mentioned that verse, might as well read it. In the book of Genesis, it's so consistent that you just cannot miss it. Every time the east wind mentioned, there's some sort of judgment happening. In Joseph's time, which happens to be chapter 41, verse 23, Pharaoh says, "And behold, seven heads, withered, thin, and blighted by the east wind, sprang up after them." Notice, the east wind is a wind of judgment. The east wind. We also just want to have a look at Exodus 14, verse 21. "Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and make the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided." Notice it's the east wind. It was a wind of power and might. It's the east wind that parted the Red Sea. There's tremendous force and power in the east wind. Right? We will not do any application yet. We will just show in the Bible what all the verses are on the wind, and then we'll do a little bit of application. Then let's look at the south wind. Psalm 78 verse 26. Psalm 78 verse 26. Something is mentioned about the south wind. "He caused an east wind to blow in the heavens, and by his power he brought in the south wind." Now the east wind brought judgment, but he says here he brings also the south wind. Now it's not so clear what it is, but look at verse 27. "He also rained meat on them like the dust, feathered fowl like the sand of the east," like of the sand of the seas. The south wind brought provision. The south wind brought food. It provided for them. We better substantiate that with more scriptures. In Zechariah chapter 9, just before chapter 10, which we have read, and that's what we want to show. Why, when revival comes, we have to know the four winds of God. Zechariah chapter 9. This is a long passage, but we need to read all of it. Reading from verse 11. "As for you also, because of the blood of your covenant, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Even today I declare that I will restore double to you, for I have bent Judah my bow, fitted the bow with Ephraim, and raised up your sons, O Zion, against your sons, O Greece, and make you like the sword of a mighty man." Notice in verse 12, he says, "I will restore you double." He promised Zion. Provision. Right? He's going to provide for them. Bring abundance upon their life. That's not over yet. Look at verse 14. "Then the Lord will be seen over them, and his arrow will go forth like lightning. The Lord God will blow the trumpet and go with whirlwinds from the south." Now, what is the south wind? Is a wind of provision. It's a wind of provision. It's a south wind. It provides. It brings provision. And it's quite consistent in its Bible usage. We need to also look at Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 16. We need to just give all these scriptures first. Because in case you're not familiar with the scriptures, you need to establish them first. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 16. "Awake, O north wind, and come, O south. Blow upon my garden, that its spices may flow out. Let my beloved come to his garden and eat its pleasant fruit. Notice that the south wind, together with the north wind, symbolize pleasantness and provision. So the south wind is the wind that provides. It's the move of the Holy Spirit in provision. Now let's look at the north wind. The Bible talks about, we have seen the east wind, a wind of judgment, the south wind, a wind of provision. And let's look at the north wind, as you saw in Song of Solomon 4:16, that it has to do with pleasantness, spices, fragrance. Now let's look at Proverbs chapter 25, verse 23. Why is it connected to provision? Proverbs chapter 25, verse 23. The first part of the verse is more important to us than the second part. The north wind brings forth rain. Right? He's illustrating with a natural fact on his teaching on a backbiting tongue and an angry countenance. Let's just food for thought. Remember that when someone gossips a lot and backbites a lot, it's because they are angry. Angry at something or someone. Right? One who is at peace inside them does not waste words. Because you're disturbed inside, that you have to keep chattering. But that's not what our topic is. Our topic is the first part of the verse. And that's for another sermon. So the first part says, the north wind brings rain. It brings rain. And north wind is important because the north wind actually brings the presence of God. And the Song of Solomon, the north wind brought fragrance. The north wind brings the presence of the Lord. Look at Ezekiel chapter 1. Book of Ezekiel chapter 1. We are laying down all the foundational scriptures. We don't want to take for granted that everybody knows those scriptures. Right? The past I always take for granted and I move too fast. Sometimes I move too slow and people say it's too slow. And it's very hard to please everybody. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 4, then I looked, and behold, a whirlwind was coming out of the north. Why not south? Why not east? Why not west? Because the north wind always symbolizes presence of the Lord. The Lord comes from the north. A great cloud with raging fire engulfing itself, and brightness was all around it and radiating out of its midst like the color of amber out of the midst of fire. The north wind brings the presence of God. Right? Finally, the book of Exodus, chapter 10, verse 19. That's the main verse that mentions about the west wind. But we'll see more about the west wind from other passages. And you've got to follow very carefully, because from here forward, we're going to make a lot of connections together. If I move too fast, wave your arms and they slow down, stand on your chair and scream, right? Because there are a lot of conclusions we're going to make afterwards, within the next 10 minutes. And the Lord, in verse 19, turned a very strong west wind, which took the locusts away and blew them into the Red Sea. There remained not one locust in all the territory of Egypt. So they are the four winds of God. The west wind is the opposite from the east wind, and the west wind took away the locust. It symbolized the wind of deliverance, great deliverance. Right? Hold your scriptures there. And let's look over to the book of Revelation, chapter 1. Revelation, chapter 1, verse 4. John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne. Now notice there are seven spirits. Right? Four winds, seven spirits. What is the seven spirits? There's only one Holy Spirit, Ephesians 4 says. Only one Spirit, one God, one faith, one people, one nation, one Spirit, one Lord, one Christ, one Savior, one God and Father. Seven spirits, which we know is from Isaiah 11. Listen to the book of Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord is shall rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom and counsel, wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Notice there are sevenfold spirits. Number one, the spirit of the Lord. Number two, the spirit of wisdom. Number four, the spirit of understanding. Number five, the spirit of counsel. Number six, the spirit of might. Number alright, let me start again. Right? My mathematics has gone haywire a little bit. I think there's a strong wind blowing through here. Alright, number one, the spirit of the Lord. Number two, the spirit of wisdom. Number three, the spirit of understanding. Number four, the spirit of counsel. Number five, the spirit of might. Number six, the spirit of knowledge. Number seven, the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Right? Sevenfold spirit. Now the sevenfold spirits are divided into four rivers or four classifications. Now you're beginning to see the connection. See, in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, comma, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, comma, the spirit of counsel and might, comma, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, full stop. You notice there are four divisions straight away. Four times the word spirit is mentioned. Although there is a sevenfold spirit, yet it is fourfold. It's the way the Bible always says. Book of Proverbs. There are three things, yet four. So now you have, there are four things, yet seven. Just to boggle our mind a little bit. But notice there are four times the word spirit is mentioned, and the spirit of wisdom is combined with the spirit of understanding into one. The spirit of counsel is combined with the spirit of might. The spirit of knowledge is combined with the spirit of the fear of the Lord. And the first one, the spirit of the Lord, remains by itself. These are the seven spirits of God in Revelation 1. The same Holy Spirit that was upon the Lord Jesus Christ when he said in Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, how the Spirit of the Lord is upon him, and he has anointed him to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, to open the blind eyes, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Same spirit that was on the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, this prophecy points to our Lord Jesus Christ. Seven spirits of God divided into four categories. And my friends, the four categories point to the four winds of God. four winds of God. And those four winds of God were on the Lord Jesus Christ. And they will be increased. That is, number one, if there is a wind. My God. Those are just few words that I could pronounce very long, long words, but those are the few words that I still boggle with my tongue. Praise God. And so there are four winds of God. And the first we realize is the wind of revelation. Right? Wind of revelation. And it brings a revelation. Then there's a wind that brings provision. Then there's a wind that brings judgment. And there's a wind that brings deliverance. Let me do the connection here straight away. We have already passed three conclusions in case you didn't follow. Three have passed by. One more coming. And right, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the north wind. That's the wind that brings the presence of God. The Spirit of the Lord is the north wind. And the north wind brings the presence of God. When the presence of God comes, it is a revelation. Is a wind that brings a revelation into our lives. Now all the others to a certain extent has revelation involved. But we're talking about the revelation of the law, not just revelation about some doctrine or truth, which the others cover. The spirit of wisdom and understanding is connected to the spirit of prosperity. If you ever read the book of Proverbs, that wisdom and prosperity are connected. It says wisdom is in the streets crying and calling, that whosoever follow wisdom, you have prosperity on one hand, riches and honor on one hand, and long life on the other. You cannot get the spirit of prosperity without the spirit of wisdom. If you don't have the spirit of wisdom, there's no way you can get prosperity. Prosperity comes by wisdom. Wisdom in the application of God's laws, wisdom in handling the things of God. The spirit of foolishness brings poverty. The two are linked up in the book of Proverbs. So the spirit of wisdom and understanding is the same spirit as the wind of provision, prosperity, provision. Think about it. If you have wisdom, you have everything you need. Prosperity, provision. Think about it. If you have wisdom, you have everything you need. Every problem you have in your life is not a problem of a lack of finances, it's a problem of the lack of knowing what to do to get it. It's never a money problem, it's an idea problem. We know what to do, we will always receive. So it's the wind of prosperity, of provision, wisdom, and understanding. The other third one, the spirit of counsel and might. You ever heard how it says, when they look at Jesus, they said, from whence cometh this mighty works? The spirit of might is the same spirit of power and of judgment. See, every time there is a healing, Satan is judged. 1 John chapter 3 verse 8 tells us, for this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The spirit of counsel and might. When you study the word counsel, you find how godly counsel will turn aside and destroy other kings that are against God. But that is the same wind, the east wind. Just now, the other one, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, is the south wind. Now we're talking about the east wind that brings judgment, that brings power. It's a demonstration of power and might. That is the east wind that God brings forth. That's what was on the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we have the last one, the west wind. The spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. That is the west wind. Spirit of deliverance. Deliverance. Knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Deliverance. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Knowledge and deliverance. Now those same four areas are on the Lord Jesus. If you read the Gospel of Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. Says in verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. That's the Spirit of revelation. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. That's the Spirit that brings healing. The Spirit of counsel and might. Judgment on the enemy. To preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. That's the spirit of deliverance. The west wind. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That's the south wind. Provision. The acceptable year of the Lord points to the year of Jubilee. It's provision. You see, all the four winds in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. And those are the four winds of revival that God wants to bring forth upon His people. Now those four winds are constantly with God and upon God. The four creatures that are around Him point to those winds. Look in the book of Ezekiel. Chapter 1, Ezekiel chapter 1, it tells us in verse 5, also from within it comes the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Each one had four faces, and each one had four wings. My word, this is going to be a tongue twister. We talk about the wings of God, and here we have creatures with four wings. Their legs were straight, and the soles of their feet were like the soles of cow's feet. They sparkled like the color of burnished bronze. They had the hands of a man under their wings, on their four sides, and each of the four had faces and wings. Their wings touched one another. The creatures did not turn when they went, but each one went straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, each had the face of a man. Each of the four had the face of a lion on the right side. Each of the four had the face of an ox on the left side. And each of the four had the face of an eagle. Let me tell you, although they look quite strange, these four represent those powerful, close winds of God. W-I-N-D-S. Wind of God. So there are four wings. And these four creatures live very, very close with God. They are the ones who cry out when every man of God has a vision. They are always before the throne of God, whom every man of God who had a vision witnessed them crying out, "Holy, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And when Kenneth Hagin was up there in his first vision, he stared at the four creatures, and the Lord Jesus said, "Don't look at them." You can read the book, reread the book and see. Jesus was staring through at them and also at this image of the Father that was there behind those four creatures. See, the revival that we are praying for, that we are looking for, comes when the four winds of God contact. Sometimes you have only one wind blowing, the north wind. Sometimes you have the other wind blowing, the south wind. Sometimes you have the other wind blowing, the east wind. Sometimes there's an emphasis on the other side, the west wind. Sometimes what people have is a touch from His presence. Revelation, the north wind. Sometimes it's a divine flow of healing. My friends, the south, the east wind, that's the wind of judgment. It's also the healing wind, counsel in mind. Sometimes you have a wave of prosperity, the south wind. Sometimes you have a wind of deliverance, the west wind. And through church history, sometimes one wind blows stronger than others. And it seems that that's the only wind. In the 1950s, we saw the wind of healing blowing. The east wind blowing, blowing. And we see how there's a great deliverance being wrought, and then the other two winds coming in a wave of prosperity teaching, followed by this wave of deliverance. And then from time to time, there are pockets of the north wind from the fresh presence of God. Like the Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 16 says, "Blow on me, O north wind. Blow on me the spices, the fragrances of my garden." Presence of God. But in the last days, and in any spot of the planet Earth, in any generation, in any country, where revival came forth, is when the four winds of God come together to form a move and a revival. Equally balanced. A move into the depth of revival. We are praying for the north wind to blow on our nation. We are praying for the south wind to blow on our nation. We are praying for the east wind to blow on our nation. We are praying for the west wind to blow on our nation. Those four creatures who are close to the heart of God have a special message for us. On one side, they look like a man. They look like a man. A man is made in the image of God. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 20, it says, God said, "Let us make man in our image." A man symbolizes the very image. And my friend, it is a symbol of what God's presence can be. They symbolize the wind of revelation, the presence of God. Well, one day in Ephesians chapter 4, the fivefold ministries have completed their work. The church will be in a full stature and manhood of Jesus Christ. And on one side, they look like an eagle. An eagle is always a symbol of healing. It says in the book of Psalms 103 that he shall renew your youth like the eagles. Psalm 40 tells us, they that wait on the Lord shall mount up with wings like eagles. And God brought the Israelites out. He told them, he brought them out like an eagle carrying them on his wing. He promised them that no sickness will be upon their life. And throughout all those years that they were with God, in 40 years, no sickness came upon them. Why? Because he said, I brought you out as an eagle. Is it not true that we sing the song, with healing in his wings? Healing in his wings. What wings? Eagle. See, an eagle is a symbol of the healing move of God. Those of you who want to emphasize on healing, now you know what figure to take. An eagle, oh, please get a friendly one, praise the Lord. And praise the Lord, if you like it, you can use a voucher. Anyway, an eagle. So an eagle, a tremendous symbol, the symbol of healing. On one side, it had an image of an eagle, the east wind, the wind of healing, judgment on the devil, but healing for the body of Christ. And on the other side, you see how they look like the ox. An ox is a symbol of a creature of burden, and it's also a symbol of provision. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, do not muzzle the ox. That ox symbolizes the ministers of God who treaded out the grain, who live by the gospel, and he used that as a symbol of how they should be provided for. He that laboreth is worthy. Double honor, the Bible says. It tells us there, the ox, my friends, is a symbol of provision, a symbol of prosperity. And praise be to the Lord. If your ministry has an emphasis on the south wind, the wind of provision, it is an ox for your symbol. Make it a cute one though. They don't look very cute. And it's a wind of provision. You have only one more. On the other side, they look like a lion. Lion. Whenever you see the Lord, like the Lion of Judah. You know, he has come to deliver his people. He's a deliverer. The devil is only as a roaring lion. But the Lord is the one and only Lion of Judah. He's the one who delivered, who sets free over the works of the enemy. our deliverer. A lion, a symbol of boldness, where you will have no more fear. You will tread over the enemy. The wind of deliverance, the west wind. And these four creatures multiplied four times. Of the symbols, plus we see those four winds that were called for by Ezekiel. And when those four winds blow, my friend, it takes four winds. Some people have prayed and prayed and prayed, and they minister and minister and minister. They only do one wind all the time. South wind, south wind, south wind. It will never perfect the body of Christ. Before the army of God can rise up, the army of God need to be healed, need deliverance to come forth to them, need provision to come forth into their life, and they need to be anointed with fresh oil of the presence of God, and then you would have a living army of the Lord. My friends, you got to pray for revival. You got to pray for the four winds of God. There's not enough of the four winds of God blowing. They need to come forth from the north, come forth from the south, come forth from the east, come forth from the west, and we need to bring them together like the winds of the Lord, and let the presence of the Lord surround us, heal our lives. In the day of the latter rain, ask for rain and speak it forth. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we praise you and thank you for this time that we have in you to consider your word, O God. We pray, God, that you would continue to enlighten and cause the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit, O God, of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and mind, and the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord to be poured forth, Father God. In our midst, mightily Lord, let it be invaded and grafted into our lives, imprinted, Lord, and it becomes a part of us, Father God. As we yield our lives to you, Lord, revive our hearts, revive our minds, revive our bodies and our beings, revive everything that we touch, O God, revive your church, revival in this land and nation, Father God, in Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise God. I know. Let's sing a song together to prepare for prayer. Let's rise together.